Welcome to Ask the Chief Information Officer on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Every week, Federal News Radio interviews the CIOs of federal agencies about the latest directives, IT challenges, and successes. Now here's your host, Jason Miller.
My special guest today is General Kevin Nally, the Marine Corps Chief Information Officer. General Nally, thank you so much for coming back on the show.
Hey, you're welcome. Glad to be back.
Well, it's been a while since we last talked, I think April 2011, so we're almost pushing 3 years. So I'm just guessing here, sir, that a lot has changed over that time. So what I want to start with is some of those older priorities that you first mentioned back in 2011. So let's start your top priority. You said at the time supporting deployed forces around the world, especially in Afghanistan. So talk a little bit about how that has improved. How has your office improved that technology and theater over the last few years?
Well, several big projects have come to fruition. Some are still in the works a little bit, but start off with tactical chat. So during OEF, instant messenger or chat became a primary method of command and control for the operating forces, especially at the tactical echelons force. And then early on, we found some shortcomings with the enterprise chat solutions, which most people know as DCO, Defense Connect Online. That was based on an XMPP protocol that we observed regarding persistence of the chat rooms that relied on the tactical line of sight type of communications commonly found in a remote tactical types of environment. So we coordinated with the Navy for the deployment of a GOTS, government off-the-shelf chat capability, called MAKO, M-A-K-O, and it operates much like an internet relay chat, what we refer to as IRC, that is more tolerant of intermittent comms, which you find in a remote tactical environment. And it also met the security concerns that we always work with. And it was documented and approved by the DSOG, which is the Defense Information Assurance Security Accreditation Working Group. And during FY14 this year, we're going to fully transition to the GOTS MAKO chat tactical solution, which actually is more reliable for us at the tactical echelons. Number two, what we call the DDSM, supporting virtualization. It's a data distribution system, modular. It's a networking package that contains modules for networking and security. Marines love it. We train on it out at 29 Palms, which is where they initially learn how to use it. It's a virtualization of servers, allows for efficient use of equipment, redundancy of hardware, and a smaller footprint. And it comes in what I call a Marine Corps-proof green box. It also reduces power requirements, too, which is another thing that we continually look at. I may or may not have talked about the PRC-117 Golf a couple years ago, but the Marines in Afghanistan have personally told me that it's a game-changer for them. It's an advanced multi-band radio, capable line of sight and satellite communications. It can also be networked at the tactical level, allowing battalions and units below the battalion level network capability, network connectivity. We achieve that through a mesh network for Marines on the move or on the halt. And this is really advantageous for us operating in a disadvantaged terrain environment like OEF in Afghanistan.
Let me jump in real quick, sir, because I know there's a couple things. Let me jump back to the chat piece, the DCO piece, and now you're moving on to MAKO. When you talk about it deals with the latency where the other, where maybe DCO was had some latency problems, what are kind of latency? Do you remember what you're talking about in terms of, was it days or minutes? Or
oh, no. Not days or minutes. It was more in seconds.
And the reason why was just because the way it has to travel over the network, that's where the latency came from. And what you're doing is you're using almost, because when you talk about internet relay chat, when you think relay, you're thinking of old school POTS telephones, which I'm guessing this is not what this is about, but is it a better infrastructure, more stable?
Well, it's more stable, but it's not based on the hardware. It was based on the XMPP protocol that we observed, and principally regarding persistence of chat rooms, you know, relying on line-of-sight communications. And so, you know, if the Marines say it's not effective for them or wasn't as effective as they needed it to be, of course, then we go look for other alternatives to meet the Marine Corps' needs. The MAKO product does that, and I think it's because of the protocol. It's not necessarily due with the hardware.
Now, did you guys develop this, or did you ask a vendor to develop it for you based on a certain set of recommendations?
Well, no, we worked with the Navy for the development of the government off-the-shelf capability. So it's a product that they had, and we asked them if we could use it, and they said yes.
They're nice that way sometimes, aren't they?
They're Navy and I, Navy, Marine Corps, teamwork has never been better in the last couple of years.
All right, and then the other thing you were talking about is the DDSM, which is the networking package. Now, basically, this is the move toward virtualization, but what is it exactly when you say it's a module? Is it, again, more hardware, or is it more of the software package that takes you to a VDI almost?
No, it's the hardware and software in a package, like routers and switches and networking-type devices that we plug into.
And the reason why you guys are going in that direction versus maybe more traditional is
there's different size packages, whether it's for a company, battalion, or regiment, or division type unit, or a MEF level type. And it comes in a green hardened box, and the Marines can pick it up and put it back in the back of a Humvee or a truck and transport it, as opposed to having a big data van having to be transported around. So it's more expeditionary, it's lighter, and requires less power.
Okay, I think that helps explain why it works so well, because when you think of virtualization, you think of the big data center and you're taking something to the effect of 20 servers and put them into 5 servers. But what you're actually talking about is almost a mobile version of the virtualization to reach back.
Correct.
And is that something that has developed over the last year because of a need in theater, or is that something that you guys maybe came across and realized how well it would work in theater?
Both. So the requirement is to virtualize to reduce your footprint. So we were able to, working with industry, able to virtualize these pieces of equipment and reduce the size of servers and reduce the requirement of servers. And then as the routers and switches, the companies were able to make tactical type routers and switches that are smaller, lighter, and require less power.
And then the final piece is the POC 117 Golf. Now, I don't think we talked about it, but you said it was a big game changer because of the way the communication works. It's a radio package, correct?
It's a radio, correct.
And what's the difference between this one and maybe the ones you were using previously?
Oh, well, it has a software in it that's advanced wideband networking waveform. So it allows Marines greater bandwidth capability for the device. Matter of fact, the Marines in Afghanistan, when they have some downtime, they're able to via connecting back into the Marine Corps Enterprise network with this radio, are able to do administrative work. It allows them access to a small common operational picture, email, things that they never really had the opportunity or capability to use when they were on the move in a remote environment.
Is this considered a typical radio, or it almost sounds like you're almost describing something smartphone-like?
It's a radio, but we're working to have a smartphone-type device that's connected to the radio that they can use it in that manner as well. So I wouldn't call it a smartphone, but it's the younger generation, they use iPhones and iPads and Androids, et cetera. So they're familiar with that type of interface.
I think that makes sense, especially from a radio perspective. You're thinking old school radio, if you press the talk like a CB radio, but things are improving, and obviously you're going to use it for different capabilities. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll jump into some of those other older priorities. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. My special guest today is General Kevin Nally, the Marine Corps Chief Information Officer.
As a manager, you need to know how you can make your organization more efficient. Listen for Management Friday on Federal News Radio. We bring you information on the keystone of success for any agency or business. Friday mornings at 10, listen for AFGE's perspective on inside government. Next at 11, Shaw, Bransford, and Roth talk about the legal implications of management decisions on Fed Talk. And at noon, listen for Fed Access with Derek T. Dort to hear what career options may be available. Management Friday, only on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. My special guest today is General Kevin Nally, the Marine Corps Chief Information Officer. Now, General Nally, before break, we're catching up on some old priorities from April 2011 when we last spoke. There was one other one you mentioned. Tell us a little bit more about that other older priority and how much progress you're making.
The project, and it has come to fruition, is the what we're calling the commercial bandwidth / teleport. So, and to support our special purpose MAGTAF crisis response forces located mainly, throughout the world, they rapidly deploy and they rapidly need access back into the Marine Corps Enterprise network, and they need to be able to conduct command and control. So what we've done is we've taken over funding and management of the Marine Corps commercial KU bandwidth contract, and this provides us over-the-horizon comm support to SATCOM users deployed globally, including Marines in Afghanistan. Additionally, the big piece as part of this contract We're able to connect a satellite link into a commercial teleport that provides network connectivity and allows us to reach back to home station for C2 resources. So you fly in or via ship or helicopter or whatever, it's a rapid connectivity back into the network. That's a huge win for us.
Now, when you say you've taken over the KU bandwidth contract, does that mean it's being run out of your office, or is it something that you're recompeting? Give me a little more explanation.
No, it's provided via DISA, but we work closely with DISA, and they work the contracting piece, but we've taken over centralized management of the KU bandwidth here at C4 at the Pentagon, and then we decentralized execution of the bandwidth out to our Marine forces. So we manage the budget here and allocate the bandwidth to those forces as they need it.
And then when you say you manage the bandwidth, meaning that if everyone tries to get on the bandwidth at once, that's going to overload the bandwidth. There won't be enough. So you're able to kind of parse it out as needed based on what people are doing that day or that minute, that moment.
Right. For example, if Marines are training, doing exercises, and they need bandwidth, great, we give them the bandwidth that hopefully that they need, satisfies their needs. However, oh, by the way, then if 3MEF in Okinawa has to deploy to the Philippines to support humanitarian assistance, disaster relief, recently conducted a little bit last year in support of the Philippines because of the typhoon, then, oh, by the way, your training and exercise evolution is not quite as important as supporting Marines in a forward-deployed environment, conduct humanitarian assistance, disaster relief. Therefore, we allocate the bandwidth to those Marines in the Philippines. That's a real-world example.
How did you do it before? Was it a multi-step approach, or was it something that DISA handled?
Both. You have to do a satellite access request, and then you have to work with various step sites, as they call them, standard tactical entry points, I believe, which are teleports as well, and then the crest has to go through, and then there's various other layers you have to go through. And I'm not saying it's a laborious process, but this allows Marines to, like, land, boom, open the box, set up the equipment, instant connectivity. We didn't have to go through any other layers to get there.
Let's move on to another priority from last time. It was your workforce, which is, I think, a priority for every both CIO and every government manager. One of the things you talked about that time was trying to keep skills up to date, hiring civilians with new skills. Give me a sense, how are you making sure your workforce is where you need it to be?
A couple things. For information assurance / cybersecurity to meet DOD's information technology requirement for, you know, national defense and the security of the network, we provide the Marine Corps the ability to develop the information assurance, which we now call cybersecurity workforce. We participate in graduate education programs. We call it the IASP program. It prepares our Marines and civilians for, you know, high duty and visibility information assurance cybersecurity assignments, not just here at the Pentagon, but throughout the Marine Corps or at our McNosc or as they go to joint types of billets. We also look for virtual training, professional development opportunities. One, that conserves travel expenses, and we also leverage opportunities offered by the civilian IT community, which is led by my deputy director, Mr. Scott Jack. So we work with NOVA, Northern Virginia Schools, to get our Marines and civilians educated. Matter of fact, working with NOVA, they actually offer credits for certain types of courses and work that the Marines and civilians have been performing in their regular job, which, you know, allows them to not just further their education, but get credit, college credits for the work that they've already done. So those are the big things. And I have a gentleman that works for me who's awesome, Mr. Pete Gillis. He actually leads what we call the COI, the Community of Interest. So he oversees all the civilians in the Marine Corps in terms of IT training. He tracks it for me. He's the one that goes out and finds courses that they can take. And so we work closely with him, and the civilians work closely with him as well. And then the Marines, you know, we send the Marines to the various schools when they need to go to the school, so to keep their skills up as well.
Now, as you guys have hit the budget crunch, like every agency and government has, and are you able to find the right people? Are you able to hire the right people? Is that getting any tougher now than it has, you know, 3, 4, 5 years ago? I mean, especially around cyber, we know that every agency struggles and every company struggles to find enough cyber security experts.
No, we have not had any trouble or any difficult He's hiring civilians with the skills we need to accomplish our mission. And, you know, even in the furloughs and the budget cuts, and I've told my people this, my civilians, I am absolutely amazed at their loyalty to the Marine Corps. You know, I have not had any of my civilians leave because they've been furloughed or disgruntled employees and whatever. And every vacancy that we have is filled.
I want to move over to third priority, probably one of the biggest ones of yours over the last few years, but especially now, the move away from the Navy Marine Corps internet that was put back in the early 2000s. And you guys, I know that the Marines are moving toward a government-owned, government-operated network. Let's talk about that transition. How's it going, and what are some of the milestones to look forward to?
Yay. It's great. Awesome accomplishment by the people that work for me. We don't even use the term NMCI anymore. We call it our MCEN, Marine Corps Enterprise Network. It's government-owned, government-operated. Didn't see any difference in the transition. It's going really, really well. I have no complaints. One of the big things that we've done is we've gotten away from dialing 1-800, you know, help me, I have computer problems, to what we call a regionalized help desk environment. And what that means is local units at the base posts and stations call their cyber folks first and say, I need help. And I call it the first responders. You get a face. You can put a face to the help. And if that individual, Marine or civilian, can't fix it, then it gets elevated up another echelon. And I've been traveling a little bit since the budget works, if you will, government shutdown, et cetera. But the Marines are telling me that they really like this regionalized help desk approach. So I can't say enough great things about it. But again, I give the credit to my people that actually work this. So that includes my people in C4, CIO, and Marine Corps Systems Command. Great team effort.
All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, I want to talk a little bit more about that transition away from the words that we won't speak anymore, NMCI. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. My special guest today is General Kevin Nally, the Marine Corps Chief Information Officer.
So, guess what I just heard?
You mean about the Roth TSP?
Okay, yeah. Well, also,
that bid protest on the DoD contract.
Right, but did you know
who the Senate confirmed for the administrator's job?
Well, what about
OMB's digital strategy?
Jeez, how do you know everything that's going on in the federal government?
I know, because I signed up for Federal News Radio's email alerts.
Be in the know and know it first with Federal News Radio's email alerts. Sign up today at federalnewsradio.com. Search email alerts.
Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. My special guest today is General Kevin Nally, the Marine Corps Chief Information Officer. Now, before break, General Nally, we were talking about that word that we won't mention anymore, NMCI, right? The move away from that toward a government-owned, government-operated network. What are some milestones? Where are you at now, and where do you hope to be in 3-6 months?
The last piece, and it's not a big piece, it's an easy piece because we're working with the company that won the contract award, but it's just a matter of finalizing the pieces of the contractor personnel moving in or moving out and working various pieces of the Marine Corps Enterprise Network. But it's so far so great. You know, knock on wood, things are going really well, and I'm really happy.
All right, that's good news, because I know that NMCI was a tough haul for a number of years, and people were frustrated with it. So if you can make that transition to something that's working well, I think you obviously your customers are quite happy.
One last thing on that, Jason, is the Commandant told me a couple years ago, he said, Kevin, I want Marines to have the same service that I have, regardless of their rank. So he said, that's what I want you to do for me when we get out of NMCI. So we treat privates all the way up to general officers the same way. You know, you got computer problems, we got somebody on the site to help you fix it.
And I think that's so important. I mean, it's really listening to the customer and making changes that meet the customer's needs. And I think, you know, the more people can do that, the better it is, the better, more satisfaction you'll have.
Well, it makes it more personal, too. I mean, as opposed to, is your computer on or what color screen do you have? It's like, you know, it's face-to-face. And I'll say this publicly till the day I die, you know, Marines work best for Marines, and when we work together as a team, and we're in charge of it, so we can tell the contractor what to do as opposed to asking for permission. We're in charge.
And speaking of being in charge, there is a movement across the whole DoD around the JIE, the Joint Information Enterprise. Discuss how the JIE fits in with your Marine Corps network and the overall network modernization that you guys are going through.
Okay, we're a big supporters of the JIE, Joint Information Environment, and how the Marine Corps Enterprise Network fits into that piece is several years ago, I'd asked my staff, well, when we get out of NMCI, what next? And so I said, well, we've got five major unclassified networks. Let's collapse them into one for better security, more effectiveness, and cost efficiency, less IT, less labor that we need to buy. So we call it our McSend Unification Plan. We meet once a week, and, well, they brief me once a week, but it's basically the work that we're going to do over the next couple years to collapse our five major networks into one. We're rolling out MPLS this summer, so that buy's been done. We're working the engineering piece with that. And we're big players in JIE.
And what is the MPLS? Is that one of those networks?
No, it's going to replace the ATM routers because they're end of life. So we're, and that's one of the ways ahead to better secure your network. DISA's using them and continues to use them and roll them out. So that's one of the more the security requirements is the network. Well, besides ATM's end of life, so we got to replace it. And MPLS is a more secure type of device to use in place of ATM.
What's your strategy around collapsing those five unclassified networks into one? I mean, is there RFPs coming? Are you going through the current contract you have for the Marine Corps Enterprise Network? Can you give me a sense of that strategy?
We're doing it.
Simple, Marines, huh? We're doing it. Pretty simple. You learned.
We've got people, and Mark Arsiscom's fully in support. So I should say we have people that have and are still going out to the base posts and stations and walking through the architecture piece of it. We're just in the final stages of solidifying that. And as we transitioned out of NMCI, of course, when we bought it back, you know, we didn't know exactly what we knew what we were buying, but we really didn't have visibility on the state of the equipment that we were buying. And so we're about in the final stages of that. And I'm talking about like the routers and switches and comm closets, et cetera, and the server back-end piece of it. So we're cleaning all that up. So it's just it's an engineering enterprise architecture piece that we're working, and as we move along and the money comes through, which it is, we're building it out that way.
Now, how does this relate back to the JIE? Because once you collapse those five networks into one, will that then connect directly to the JIE?
The JIE is not going to be a quasi-network, if you will. It's going to be a network built on standards, identity access management piece, single security architecture, joint regional security stacks, et cetera, that will be part of the base posts and stations, and then you plug into that. But part of the JIE effort is to collapse networks. It's to collapse data centers. So all this is working toward that end state of the JIE, reducing the IT footprint and making it more secure.
And I think that goes back to the budget conversation we had just a little bit, meaning there's a tight times, things you got to find savings, and obviously you expect to find a lot of savings. I think you mentioned earlier the cost savings in cybersecurity were probably your two biggest drivers of this, of the collapsing the five into one.
Correct.
Do you have estimates yet of how much money you're spending today and how much money you will spend in, you know, when the networks are collapsed?
We do, but I'm not going to discuss that publicly.
All right. Well, maybe it's something that can come out later.
Yes.
All right. Something else to look forward to. So many things on the horizon. Let's talk about the JIE core services. One of the things we've talked about before is enterprise email. I know DOD CIO Terry Takai has asked all the services for a plan to migrate to the DISA services. And what is your latest with that? What are your plans around those enterprise services?
Well, we've been doing enterprise email for 10 or 12 years. And one of the original requirements was to have access to a global address list, you know, so you could go find anybody in the Army, Navy, Air Force, Coast Guard, OSD staff, civilians, contractors, et cetera. And Jason, as of last night, I can declare victory because we in the Marine Corps now have a global address list where I can find everybody's name who has a DOD or OSD email account. And that includes I can find people that are using the DISA enterprise email, or I can find people in the Navy or the Marine Corps that aren't on DISA email. I can find civilians. I can find contractors. So we met that requirement.
Now, how did you go about that? You said as of last night it all came together.
Well, we've been working it over a year or so, but it took efforts between my staff, the Marine Corps Network Operations Security Center, and DISA. DISA was a huge help big players, and we were able to pull it all together. So, you know, I can pull down my address book now, and we've tagged it that says EDS TAC Marine Corps, EDS TAC Army, EDS TAC Navy, et cetera, Coast Guard, OSD staff. So I got a name. I can pull up, go to my directory and find that person and send them an email.
Now, previously, what was the issue? Were you unable to find that person, but you could still send them an email? Because obviously, I can send you an email. You can send me an email.
If you had that person's email address, then you'd manually initially type it in and then save it to your address book, or it comes up in your cache. But it's, you know, that was one of the requirements that people had. For example, if, you know, Kevin Nally's on the joint staff somewhere, and some Marine general working inside the Marine Corps wants to send me an email, he or she couldn't find my email address because they didn't have access to a global address list. Now we have access to a global address list. So we're using DMDC as the authoritative data source, and you go in there and you update your information, and that's the database that we're pulling these email accounts from.
And how does this relate back to that the goal from the DoD CIO Terry Takei to have a migration plan to the DISA services? Is this part of that effort? Is this step one, or is this maybe?
No, it's part of the effort, but and she's a supporter of us. But one of the concerns is, one, that was the initial requirement, to have access to a global address list. We met that. The other thing is that the Department of Navy just signed a contract for NGEN and with option years. So, you know, we've already spent money on enterprise services.
So you're meeting the goal in through NGEN, through other things, correct?
Yeah, and with the Department of Navy and with DISA, we are doing a business case analysis comparing the cost of DISA DEC email versus what we have now. So it's all fair and square and upfront, and Terry Halverson, the Don CIO, briefs Ms. Takei frequently on the business case analysis study that we're doing, and that should be done in May, I believe, timeframe. So, you know, the Don, Navy, Marine Corps, DISA, we're all working together and showing the numbers and seeing what we come up with.
All right, sir. Sounds like we could probably talk a lot more, but I think we're out of time for today, unfortunately. You've been listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. My special guest today was General Kevin Nally, the Marine Corps Chief Information Officer. General Nally, we'll have you back on soon.
Thank you very much, Jason.
You've been listening to Ask the Chief Information Officer on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear it in its entirety on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Ask the CIO, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM, WFED, your source for federal news now.